Well, this morning we meet to discuss important tech issues with our tech guru, Jesse Feiler. Jesse is a developer, consultant, and author specializing in Apple technologies. He's the creator of Minutes Machine for iPad, the meeting management app, and the Saranac River Trail app, a guide to the trail that includes location-based updates as well as social media schools. This program has been on the air for, almost 15 years now, and Jesse has been a part of the program from the very beginning. Did you know that?
I didn't know. I knew it was more than 2 weeks.
It's been a long time. You've been a part of the program since the very beginning, and we're delighted that you keep coming back.
Well, I enjoy it. It's fun.
Excellent. Well, we love having you, as you well know. And this morning, we're going to focus on the idea of nonprofits as innovators. And to help us in this process, you've brought along a special guest, Gail Naowith. So I'll allow you to tell us why you thought Gail would be so great in speaking on these issues.
Well, mostly because I've known her for years, almost as long as I've been doing Roundtable. And she's very innovative, very articulate, and she's the person that I turn to when I have questions on this issue.
An expert in nonprofit organization management. Gail, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Happy to be here.
Very nice. So basically, you can start the ball rolling here, Jesse, and talk a little bit about this idea of nonprofits as innovators.
Well, I don't know. I think nonprofits have always been innovators in many ways. But in some ways, I sort of think that we sometimes think of ourselves as being behind the curves, particularly when it comes to technology, you know, that we have to economize and we do things in... Sometimes innovation comes slowly, I think, to nonprofits. I mean, Gail, are you going to kill me?
No, I think that, I think this is a knife with a double edge or a sword with a double edge. I think that nonprofits are among the last adopters of new technology, but they're also among the first developers of new technology. And I think that there is a just wide disparity between nonprofits that are using technology to accomplish social good and nonprofits that are really struggling with the mechanics of technology, whether it's hardware and software. But in truth, the field is changing in a very significant way, and it's going to have to change more in the next 5 years.
How much, Gail, do you think it is just that nonprofits usually, and of course this is not, you know, not the case for all nonprofits, but in many cases, it's that you're dealing with a very small staff doing a lot of work, and sometimes these things get lost in the cracks. And also, there's the issue, which is always paramount with nonprofits, and that's the money.
Why isn't that part of an issue for for-profits as well?
Yeah, look, I think... You know, when a nonprofit is trying to reach a constituency, whether it's people they serve with a human service, a cultural or arts organization, a community group, a civic organization that's run by volunteers, you know, the nonprofit sector has a very rich array and a very complicated array of organizations operating in that space. I think I looked it up in the National Center for Charitable Statistics today. There are about 98,782 nonprofits in New York State, and that includes, you know, public charities, private foundations, and small nonprofits. There are about 20,000 small nonprofits. I mean, the reality is that this is a connected world, that everybody is working off of smartphones or other kinds of technology. And I think that in the nonprofit sector, there has just been a little sort of rigidity in thinking that technology means heavy-duty, very expensive hardware, and not as much expertise in trying to figure out simple ways to communicate and engage. And that's really the function of technology, right? It's to share information, communicate, and engage. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that expensive. It's really a question of understanding the way that people in the community get their information and how they make choices about causes to support, activities to participate in, people to vote for, how to network with their families and friends. You know, this technology can't really be so alien to nonprofits. It's got to be central to what all nonprofits are thinking about now, because this is the way we all live in the world.
Jesse?
Yeah, and I think I totally agree with that, because what we do is we tend to think, yeah, we can't afford this. And we think we can't afford some massive installation. But I also remember one library director in Hudson Valley years ago who said, when libraries resist automating their circulation systems and they say they can't afford it, she said, they all say that, but when they say they can't afford it, it's never about the money. It's just a very easy way of saying no.
Mm. Right. You know, technology scares people. I mean, I am the daughter of a librarian. I learned the Dewey Decimal System when my mother learned it in graduate school. And I love cataloging and prospecting and curating information. I don't use a card catalog anymore. I can ask any question on the internet and have any question answered. And so if a nonprofit wants to be relevant and wants to continue to receive donations as well as clients, you know, consumers, customers, you know, people just have to be able to adopt the technology. And again, you know, we're talking about handheld devices. All over the developing world, people are using technology through smartphones to do things as sophisticated as banking, loan approvals, all kinds of things. And so in the States, you know, what the challenge is for nonprofits is to figure out how to use technology to good end. Now, look, some things cost a lot of money. You know, this move to Medicaid managed care and this use of electronic health records and health information systems with data shared across platforms and across providers. That's a very complicated thing, and that's an expensive investment. It's a particular kind of technology solution. But those are for organizations and hospitals, you know, nonprofit service providers, human service providers and hospitals that have resources, and they have government contracts to provide support. Most nonprofits are smaller, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to engage the community of users with your organization, get information out, and communicate. This is, again, not, I hate to say this, Jesse, but I don't think this is a high-tech solution.
It's not. It's absolutely not. And when you talk about engaging the community, there's one area that I've seen firsthand where I think we have to engage our communities, and that's when we're dealing with volunteers, whether they're volunteers helping with the specific goal,
right,
or board members, because the people who are coming up and knocking on our doors now to help have a smartphone in the other hand. They knock with one hand and have the smartphone in the other hand, and when we say no, we are still licking envelopes, they may turn away.
Right. I mean, look, the whole issue, you know, this gets us into this conversation around millennials. And I think, you know, I mean, I hate to say this. I'm sure I'm going to, you know, I don't want to generate hate mail for the station. But, you know, millennials are younger versions of ourselves, right?
Time.
For people who are civically engaged and who are interested in building community, who've been doing this work for a long time, this generation of young people is really the embodiment of our best and younger selves. They have technology. They're not afraid to use it. But the reality is that civil society is based on volunteers. And Jesse talked clearly about board members as well as other active volunteers doing things from running libraries to doing cultural activities to doing block watches to doing all kinds of things, community services projects. And the way to reach people, I mean, at the very least, we're talking text messaging.
Right.
At the very least. That's the lowest end. I mean, there's a foundation in New York City called the New York Foundation that, you know, is not a typical nonprofit because they give away money as opposed to having to raise money. But they are, in fact, a nonprofit, and they're not a huge foundation. They have managed to figure out how to use technology in the most inexpensive way, using videos and using their website in creative ways and pushing out content electronically. And this is not with a whole communications department and a design group. This is a group of people who figured out how to use the technology to tell the story about the people that they're giving grants to, and profiling these nonprofits on their website to provide information to the community and really free advertising for the nonprofit grantees. But the work is extraordinary, and it's very low cost.
Let me just throw in the idea of when we're talking about nonprofits that and I speak not on behalf of WAMC, but with that experience, I guess, which is that but let's use the station as an example. You have the station, you have the radio station. So we want to get the message out about what we're doing, what we're programming, that we're having this discussion right now. And then at some point, we also want to get people in the pool to donate and to pledge and to be a part of our organization financially. Are those two very different things that have to be looked at differently, or do you say, all for one and one for all?
So, the model in the business of engaging volunteers and helping flip people from providing service or interest to actually writing a check or using a credit card to make a donation, I mean, it used to be thought of as a ladder. And then with each rung representing a different level of engagement. You know, I guess there's another way of thinking about it, which is sort of low touch, low demand, and then sort of higher touch, warmer and more significant demand ways of engaging people. But the reality is that if you talk to the people who raise money for the radio station, they would tell you that there are four or five different groups of listeners who they want to move from just being listeners to being more actively engaged either in the programming and or in donating. And there are various ways to reach out to people. Technology has to be a part of that. I mean, we now have platforms to do civic engagement. I think there's a new one called Brigade, which is just up, and it's a kind of open source platform where people can talk about ideas and begin to develop social networks around ideas and political campaigns. It's the same way the radio station works. I mean, they're devoted listeners to the radio station, to this particular program, and people who want to hear it and people who want to support it. And people do support, support things in different ways. Some of it's writing a check, some of it's talking about the program, some of it's encouraging people to listen, some of it's about engaging around certain issues that get raised. I mean, there's an audience out there that is a segmented audience, and technology plays an important role, I think, in reaching these people.
What you said reminded me in a bizarre way of something I've heard social media people say on several occasions about using social media with nonprofits, and that is that when they come in and work with a nonprofit to see how they could use social media, the first thing they say, and sometimes the hardest thing they have said is for them to get across, at least the people I've heard from, is to tell the people at the nonprofit, don't ask for money yet. And it's sort of as soon as we get a mailing list, we think, ooh, we'll send out something. And they say, no, it's so cheap to communicate and to do things that you postpone that for a long time so that you can say, instead of here's the promise of what we will do, you can say, here's what we have done in the 6 months since you've been a member. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
and
it does make sense.
It's not just about fundraising, Jesse. That's exactly right.
No, I just want to get back to a point in the few minutes that we have left is that give us some examples, if you can, Jesse, of nonprofits that have become leaders and innovators in modern technology.
The first one that springs to mind, and it's not a nonprofit, but it's a major endeavor that sort of set the standard for a lot of this, was the first Obama campaign.
Mm.
And actually that started with Howard Dean.
Yes.
That's where it started. That's where we saw the integration of web and social media happening. And I'm trying to think.
And we see it in apps.
We see it absolutely in apps. But that, I don't think that, yeah, go ahead, Gail.
I was going to say, you see it in health, public health campaigns, where you're trying to get information across to the public about healthy eating or other healthy habits.
Right.
You know, you see it in some peer-run organizations where people are trying to, you know, share information. A lot of the blogs are sort of created by people who are working in nonprofits and working on social causes.
And you see it...
You see it in all kinds of small nonprofits and startup nonprofits where they've opened up platforms for giving, whether it's time or expertise or, you know, financial resources. But it's not about fundraising. It's really about trying to solve a social problem. And if the social network and social media and the web in general are harnessed for that purpose, there will be people who will come along to provide the fuel that nonprofits need to do their work, whether it's stay on the air in the case of a radio station or have engaged content. I mean, Jesse's a, you know, he's a perfect example, 15 years of doing a show. I mean, that's pretty amazing. you know, but it has that value.
Yeah, and I'm curious as to, I guess one of the things that I so often hear, and this isn't just a nonprofit problem, this is an overall issue, I think, when it comes to technology, which we were touching on before, which is that they're generational, and some questions is, okay, well, this is worth it, and isn't it worth it? And, oh, all right, well, I'm this company, but am I going to be able to sell Windows if I have a really good Twitter presence? And so I'm curious in the nonprofit world of how that's vetted, of how you make those decisions, and how much of it is ultimately trial and error.
Well, look, I think that you use the technology like you use any method, right? I mean, it's about communication and engagement. And not every application works for every organization. You have to know what you're selling. You have to know who you're trying to sell it to. You have to know what you're asking people. And so not every technology solution is going to work for every nonprofit. But I can tell you that if you want to be in any way relevant or survive in this very busy world that we work in and live in, you need to distinguish yourself from other organizations by telling people what you do that has value. And the only way to do it now is through technology. I mean, it's unaffordable to mail things. Forget about licking envelopes, Jesse. Honestly, stamps are expensive. You know, you have the man and woman power costs of stuffing the envelopes. You got to fold it. You got to photocopy it. You've killed a lot of trees. And then you have to pay, you know, you have to spend, you know, a lot of money to get a piece of paper into somebody's mailbox. It's just ridiculous, and it's completely impractical, and it's unaffordable at scale. So if you really want to reach people, you have to reach them in a more cost-effective way, and in a way that they're more likely to actually open the envelope or open the email or open up some beautiful web page and be kind of drawn into that. And you have to be able to tell people a story that's going to enable them to find themselves and the things that they care about and their passions in that, you know, through that vehicle. Letters don't do that anymore. Annual reports flat don't do that anymore. There are some things that should be hard copy for certain kind of segments of your audience and people you want to reach. But a lot of it needs to be short, and a lot of it needs to be very direct, and it's got to come in on a some kind of a smartphone or watch or whatever it is, technology that you're wearing. Very convenient. It's got to be convenient.
And that's I totally agree with that, except with, again, the caution, this is not just a nonprofit issue.
Yes.
It's every organization.
Mm-hmm.
And figuring out what's right for them.
what's right. And one of the nice things about some of the new technologies is because they lend themselves to short messages and inexpensive experiments, which we can do. And a lot of the technologies now bring back tons and tons of data so that you can try things out. That's one of the things that I think in the last Obama campaign that wasn't noticed so much was that, and I think it's in all of the campaigns now, is that everything that went out had been tested because it's so easy to do that. And that's not
expensive. The world becomes your laboratory, and you get Google Analytics or whatever it is that people are using to figure out whether somebody opens something or takes an action or clicks through. And so most nonprofits, when they start this kind of work, start to take a look at what their baseline is. How many people do we reach now with a traditional mailing? How many friends do we have on Twitter? I mean, you see these campaigns now all over the place where, oh, we've hit our 50,000th viewer or whatever. I mean, these are all things that can be done with technology and with data analytics from the use of technology. Jesse, you're absolutely right.
You want the final word?
No.
You can have it.
I've learned something in all these years.
Well, we will. A reminder that you can find out more information. Do you have anything up on the website?
Yeah.
Okay, it's great.
A wonderful report that Gail sent me.
Excellent. So if you go to northcountryconsulting.com, Jesse provides all the information that we're talking about on the topics, and you can find out more information and read more by going to northcountryconsulting.com. Gail, Jesse, thank you so much for being with us. What a great pleasure. Gail Nawith, a great pleasure. So nice to meet you. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
And Jesse, always wonderful to see you. Thank you.
Good to see
you. We look forward to next month. Coming up, we will... We'll end the show. You're listening to the... We'll say goodbye. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.